This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hello and welcome to Well. Jill and Jason with you tonight from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. Jason, how are you tonight?
I'm very well, thank you, Jill. How are you doing?
I'm very, very well indeed.
I'm getting very excited about our show tonight. It's chock-a-block.
It's totally bumper-packed, I know. We will be talking on the phone in the first instance with Dr. Harvill Hendricks, who will be discussing imago therapy. And we will then be chatting with a couple who in the studio here who have actually gone through the therapy. Plus, we will be having a look at a few snippety items if we have time, which I don't think we will. Plus, we'll be also having a look at some of the events happening around town later. So, all in all, a huge show.
Indeed, all this in an hour as well.
I know, I don't quite know how we're going to cram it all in, but I reckon we'll find a way. But Jason, we do love to hear from our listener. So how can they get in contact with us?
They can call us and speak to the lovely Gordon, who's from Scotland, which is not a part of England.
No, it's not.
On 1300-JOY-949, or email us directly in studio at onair@joy.org.au, or send an SMS to 0427-JOY-949. And we do love getting our messages. So
We do.
Feel free to get them in right away.
Lovely. Joining Jason and I on the phone now is Dr. Harvill Hendricks, a co-founder of imago therapy. Harvill Hendricks and his wife and lifelong partner, Helen Lekelly-Hunt, co-created imago relationship therapy and co-authored 9 books on the subject of relationship therapy. The books have sold millions of copies all over the world, Getting the Love You Want and Keeping the Love You Find among the most popular titles. Harvill, welcome to Well, Well, Well.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Appreciate that nice introduction.
Harvill, can you explain briefly what imago therapy is and how it came about?
Sure. Well, briefly, it's a couples therapy. It came about through about 8 years of research studying couples, and back in the 70s when marital therapy was not very effective. So I set out to do something new, and it was stimulated by the fact that in 1975, I got a divorce. And at the time, I was a professor teaching at the graduate level. Guess what? Marriage and family therapy.
Nice.
Yes. So it was sort of an embarrassment and a cognitive dissonance to leave the divorce court one Tuesday morning and go to a 10:30 seminar to teach marriage therapy. So the students in this course, there were about 12, didn't want to discuss my divorce. They said, we know what's happening and we're sorry, but we wanted to talk about our relationships because all of us are in trouble. And they said, why do you think men and women have such difficulty being together? And I said, I don't know, but by the end of the 2 hours, I was clear that I had somehow stumbled onto my next career, which was to answer that question. So I worked on it for 8 years, wrote the book Getting the Love You Want, which was my first response to the question. So that's how it all came into being.
Now, this is Jason. What makes imago therapy different from other types of models of therapy?
Two things. One is that an imago therapist does what we call facilitates the couple healing each other rather than being the center player in the therapy and the therapist being the resource for the couple. The therapist helps the couple engage in a conversation. We call it a dialogical conversation that helps them move toward each other. I think that's the first piece, is how the therapist works. In most therapy, the therapist is the person of power in the session. They do inquiries, they do analysis, they do feedback, they do confrontation, they do listening. But in imago therapy, the therapist helps the couple have a conversation. And the conversation that is called a dialogue, it's a conversation, has three parts: mirroring, validating, and empathy. And we can go into that if you wish. But the conversation is about what's going on in their relationship at the need level about needs that have their source in unfinished business in childhood with their parents. And those needs not met, usually we would say about 90% of the struggle that couples have has to do with the intrusion of unmet needs from the past, all unconsciously, into the relationship, that the sensitivity in the relationship is rooted in the sensitivities that were created in relation to their parents in childhood. So the Imago therapist helps people heal each other in the present, which heals the past, changing the brain, and it then does it through facilitating a dialogical conversation.
So, Dr. Hendricks, are there key sort of phases that couples generally go through in their relationship? Is there a way that the honeymoon phase, I suppose, can last forever, or is it natural for it to sort of evolve into something else?
Well, every relationship tends to go through three phases. The first one is romantic love, and that's the one everybody wishes would last forever.
So that would be the same as the honeymoon phase.
That's the honeymoon.
Yeah.
That's the honeymoon phase, yeah. The romantic attraction, when you see the eyes across the crowded room and you move to the person like a moth to the flame, and you've got all kinds of energy and chemicals up from endorphins to dopamine going on in your brain. So your thinking brain is just really knocked out. You don't know actually who this person is, but they're very important. And when you commit to them and move into a relationship, and usually into marriage and the wedding, of course, the romantic love goes away. The life cycle of romantic love is about 18 months. And that means that some people have a long time and some people have a very short honeymoon period. But the power struggle, the second phase, the frustration, disillusionment, disappointment that comes, is built into the process. This is what most people don't know in the culture, and what the culture does not teach, is that when frustration comes in a relationship, that just means you're in stage two, and that now you're at the stage where you have to grow and help each other get each other's unmet childhood needs met in order to move to stage three, which is then real love. Now, real love is when I love you not because I need you, but I love you because of your intrinsic value. In other words, real love is not rooted in what you can do for me. Real love is basically something that I will do for you. So those are the three phases. Most people don't get to real love. They get after stage two. They take another tour, which is either a parallel marriage, in which they just don't have they don't ever touch each other. They stay together, don't divorce, but pretty much have parallel paths. Or they have a hot marriage, which they stay together and fight till death do they part, which is we know about a lot of those. Or they get a divorce, and 50% of people for the last 60 years have gotten a divorce. And I think what the other thing about Imago is that we say there's actually a fourth choice, which is to make a commitment to each other to help heal each other's childhood wounds, and then you go into the marriage of your dreams.
Dr. Hendricks,
yes.
What would you suggest if in a relationship one person is more committed to Imago therapy than another? Would you suggest that they don't persist in their relationship, or would you offer them some sort of alternative?
Well, I think that when there's one person committed to therapy and the other one is not committed, is that the question?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah. Would you maybe suggest that, okay, this relationship can't work? You both have to be committed to this process, or else it's going to be a failure.
Oh, no.
Maybe no, it wouldn't be quite that harsh.
No, one of the discoveries, and I said great, I think it is a great discovery that we made, is that one person, it's sort of odd, one person can make a relationship great, but it usually takes two people to make one bad.
Mm.
And I know that sounds like it should be the reverse, but actually one person can. And so what has to happen, however, for this one person to make a difference is that they need to, in a sense, take responsibility for the negative stuff that they are contributing to the relationship, rather than assigning the problem to the partner, which is what most couples do. They say, you know, I'd be happy if you weren't so awful.
Yeah.
And then let's go to therapy so you can be fixed because I'm okay. What the person who wants to be in therapy has to do is to simply take responsibility for their behavior with something like, say, hey, I want to go to therapy. I want to be in therapy because I would like to become the partner that you would love living with. And so would you stay in therapy with me, go to therapy with me, and help my therapist understand how to help me be the best partner I can be for you? You can see how that's a better motivation to stay in therapy, to keep both people in therapy, than let's go to therapy so we can work out our problems, because that usually means so you can get fixed. So I think it's this taking this responsibility and making some declaration. I know that's really hard for a person to do alone, so you know I got to have some help. But actually, if you become, you know, Gandhi had a great phrase that applies to marriage. He said, be the change you want to see. So if you become the change that you want to see in your partner, then what happens to this partner is that they then don't have a basis to continue the alienation or the negativity and criticism. They become really curious about this. So that's the position that we take, is for you, you go and take responsibility, say to your partner that you want him or her to help you learn how to be the best person you can be in the relationship, what is it that they need, and then you drop negativity yourself, you stop criticizing your partner, you begin to look at the positive things that's in your partner and begin to praise them. What you do, in other words, is you change the energy in the relationship from negative to positive. And most of the time, in my experience, is that the partner who is reluctant to be in therapy becomes a very active participant in the therapy and in the relationship.
Now, Dr. Hendricks, I believe, yes, that you've got a workshop happening shortly in Melbourne. Can you tell the listener,
yes,
a little bit about that?
Yes. Well, it's there's a workshop starting actually tomorrow. Today is Thursday, right?
Yeah.
This jet lag thing.
You're doing well.
This jet lag thing is sort of difficult to keep up with what year it is, what day it is. maybe some what year. Yes, it's starting tomorrow at 7:00. And you know, I don't have in front of me actually the location. You probably have that information that you could. Did somebody give you that?
Yeah, we'll be able to share that at the at the end
of
the second.
You can say that. Yep. Yeah. It's starting tomorrow, and we'll run from 7 to 9 Saturday, 9 to 6, and then Sunday I think 10 to 1. And it in the workshop. This is called an intensive couples. It's just for couples, and couples will be walk through the process of learning how to have this conversation that I've called a dialogical conversation. In fact, we'll spend most of the time on that, because what is so fascinating after working for 30 to 40 years in this field is how partners talk to each other that determines what kind of relationship they will have. Most people don't know how to talk to each other. So we take them through a process that teaches them how to do that. And the outcome of this is that conversation becomes safe instead of scary. And then the conversation is about each other's mutual needs, not about how you're not meeting my needs, but about what they are. And we help them become partners in getting their needs met with each other. So we'll, and that works, and so we'll help people identify what they brought from childhood that has to be dealt with in the relationship and how to do it.
Now, this is a workshop that's open to partners of any gender or sexual orientation.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
All you have to be is a couple. You can be married, can be dating, you can be gay, be lesbian. just have to come. In fact, sometimes some people say, well, I want to come, but I don't have a partner. And we say, well, you have to borrow one. Because we don't let any singles in, but you have to come as a couple. Well, and any couple is welcome.
Fantastic. Look, Dr. Hendricks, I'm sorry, but we are completely out of time.
Oh, okay.
But we really do appreciate you taking the time out of what I imagine is a very busy schedule to chat with Jason and I this evening, and all the very best of luck for the workshop on the weekend.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your taking the time to have me on.
All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, so now for the evidence. We have, joining Jason and I in the studio this evening, Mez and Lisa, a couple who have actually gone through the Imago therapy process. Thank you both for joining us on Well and Well this evening.
It's good to be here.
Very much so.
Now, I can see you both nodding enthusiastically during that whole conversation, which was just fantastic. Okay, so firstly, a bit about you both. How long were you together before things reached a point where you wanted to get help with your relationship?
I think probably about 6 years or so.
Oh, okay. So yeah, you gave it a fair old crack, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm sure there were things that were starting to come up anyway before that. But for me, if I think back to the times before the sort of the crisis that actually led us to go to the counselling, that's probably when it was, around 6 years.
Right.
And I'm sure there were little bumps like Harville talked about, you know, after 18 months. I'm sure there were, but really it was about 6 years.
And so what were some of the signs that, How did that manifest when you, I mean, you call them bumps, but how did it sort of manifest that this is crisis?
It's interesting, in a couple often you get, I think, sort of, what do they call them, turtles and hailstormers, or the person who is the one who sees all the issues, another one will, in male-female couples, same-sex couples, there's always one or the other, and usually that sort of swaps around. And I suppose that person was Lise. She could see that we needed things fixing and I was reacting to it. And one of the signs is when there's just continual cycle of the same thing keeps on cropping up all the time with us.
For me it was more about reliability, always wanting Mez. It was about transport and time, which is an issue for me, and being picked up on time, and it never happened. And that was like it was like this really sore point for me, and I kept getting let down, and it didn't matter what the issue was, there was always a reason that Mez couldn't pick me up on time, and I had to wait. Even if she had a phone, she wouldn't call me. So this was like a big button presser, and it just grew and grew and grew until I was a bit like a mad woman, really. And that was about the 6 year point, and that's when we started to think about Imago therapy, but we didn't do anything at the time. So
now, how did you come across Imago therapy as opposed to, you know, other modalities?
Well, if you could see my library at home, you might understand why.
It's full of sort of self-help books. Yeah. And we knew the book. We knew of another couple who had if Imago therapy helped them, then it must be wonderful, because it was amazing how they got through it. What sort of things had gone on in their relationship. So that was proof to us, and we now realise we should have had it a long time ago when these patterns were just occurring and reoccurring and reoccurring. And it wasn't until we hit a crisis point in our relationship that we had to do something. It's not until you feel in enough pain that forces you sometimes to do something about it.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because you sort of think, oh, I should have known, we should have done all this business.
Oh, no.
But you're right. I think sometimes, you know, we all give ourselves a bit of a tough time, and you're in the thick of it and you can't see the wood for the trees, so to speak. It actually is quite hard to go, actually, this is the crisis point.
Exactly. And I think that probably when you look back, you realise there's part of you, or your psyche, your ego, or something that's holding you back from actually taking that step. Because, I mean, for me, I think I was always keen, but I realised, we can talk about it later, but just with the crisis that came up, a huge issue was awoken for me. That is amazing, quite amazing for me, because it's helped so many other parts of my life. So
So did you find the process hard work, or was it relatively easy?
For me, I found it I found it intense, but I'm an intense person, so I actually enjoyed it because I felt like I actually had someone to hear me, and that was great.
Was this the first kind of experience, I guess, with counselling as well?
Not for me. I'd had a lot of that on and off over my life, but I think for me as it was,
yeah. I'd had a little bit of therapy, but not in this sense. And I think as Harville mentioned in his interview, how this touches really on more the cause of why we react in the way we do, how it's to do with our patterns from our parenting. And that's what really helps. You don't see your partner as the enemy. You realise that it's not, you don't feel frightened because it's you who's doing something wrong. It's really you're just representing something else to them, like their mother or their father. It's just a pattern.
Mm. It's absolutely fascinating, isn't it?
Well, yeah, for me, I wish I could take the essence and the energy of what we have learnt and experienced in the last few years and actually put it onto people, because when you're on the other side of it, you feel like anything's possible in a relationship.
Well, I'd imagine that the learnings that you would have acquired through going through that therapeutic process as well would be transferable to any relationship that you're having.
Exactly. And we know of single people who get Imago therapy too, just to make themselves be the best person when they do find a partner, that they're not reacting in the way. And just to put that into an example, Lise said how the issue was me being late. Now, that seems just like a trivial thing. And you think, well, why is it causing such a problem in a relationship? But when, through therapy, we sort of looked at the patterns and why she was reacting so great over such what would seem like a trivial thing, there was a similar pattern from when she was young, with her being a little girl at home, never knowing when her mum was going to be home. And so me not calling to say when I would be home from work, or not contacting her to say when I'd be picking her up, that 2 minutes would seem like 2 hours, because it was just replaying everything that was the trauma of a little girl. And once I realised that, I didn't see this tirade woman who became really scary to me. Of course, my issue was an angry mother, so that put me in a spot too. But I would see this little girl that I need to look after and love.
Mm. As Imago Therapy was founded in the United States of America, was it hard to find a therapist who practiced in Melbourne? So, I mean, you got the idea that this sort of therapy was out there. You went, oh, my God, this sounds amazing, amazing, amazing. Oh, my God, it's only in San Francisco? Or
no, well, the power of the internet. Just Google, and there was someone who was within 2 kilometres of where we lived. So how perfect.
I think there's Imago therapists pretty much all around Melbourne and around Australia possibly as well.
Yeah.
Which is good. It's handy.
Yeah, because when we started to see the counsellor, we ended up doing this actual workshop as well with some therapists from Western Australia. So it was fantastic. The two things together.
We were the only same-sex couple in the workshop. We've done a few of those. But it seems to apply to everyone.
So what was your experience like being the only same-sex couple in those workshops?
No, I think we liked it, actually. We felt special. <Yeah. laughs> some of the couples weren't sure at first, because it's like they look at us, and, I mean, we're not traditionally sort of, you know, butch looking or anything. I mean, we sort of pass sometimes for straight girls. So they're sort of thinking, why? You could see the looks in their faces. Why are these two girls there? Oh, okay.
They must be note takers.
Yes, exactly. Bystanders or something.
They're writing for the Age or something. Just doing a bit of research. Now, would you say any relationship or the relationship that you have with a partner is essentially an effort, or would you say it doesn't have to be, like, you know, what is your take on that? So, because most people sort of say, oh, you know, you have to work at a relationship, you have to really, and it sounds essentially like it's an uphill battle. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yes, you do, but if you let things go in anything, really, I suppose, in the way, if you relax into your habits with yourself, even, then the more you put into something, the more you get out of it. So I think Imago gives, when you're in like a crisis like we were, and you get to the point where it's everything's pressing your buttons and you can't even talk to each other. Imago gives you the tools to get you through that. That's why we like to compare to some other therapies. So if we go back to those tools, if you call those work, then I suppose they are, but it makes it easier to label things, I suppose.
Mm. I think when you, like most of us, there's an issue, like my issue would come up, you can become so out of your body, outraged, and you can't make any sense of anything, that when you've got the dialoguing, it is a conscious choice that you have to do it, because for someone like me that's extremely emotional person, to try and contain all of that anger that I had was very difficult. And Mez tends to sort of withdraw, so the more that she would withdraw, I would go on the attack mode. Mm-hmm. And what the dialoguing taught us to do was for her to be present, or for me to be present, and to actually listen. And what the dialoguing does is she would tell me what I had said, and she'd say, did I hear you correctly? Is that what you said? So you suddenly hear your own words coming back at you.
Mm. Which I can imagine is actually quite challenging at times.
And to remember what the person said half the time.
Yeah, it's a skill. And I think you mentioned before that does it help with other relationships? And that sort of mirroring actually works really well with kids. Mm. And because the person who's talking and then getting that repeated back to them, they really feel heard.
Mm. Mm.
And
it's wonderful.
Yeah, once you're really feeling heard in a relationship, any relationship, it really helps.
Absolutely.
So I'm guessing I almost know the answer to this, but obviously this is something that you would recommend to any couple, regardless of sexual orientation.
Yep, take the plunge. Have the courage to do it. You will be a different couple, a different person, once you've started to practice dialoguing and to obviously see Harville. I mean, I'm sure he and his wife are amazing people to be in a room with for 3 days.
Yeah, you know, I can imagine.
You'd be transformed by that, for sure.
I almost wish I was in a relationship that was really bad at the moment. And I was going, can we go? Because it's going to be amazing.
Well, yeah, I mean, couples in good relationships came along to some of our workshops. Yeah. And they were just sort of putting in preventative measures, I think.
Mm. Which is really good. Yeah, I think that's amazing. I mean, I am actually single, which is why I'm saying, I mean, if no matter what my relationship status was, I think I would be going.
Yeah. But I guess it's just that point of perpetually growing as a couple.
Yeah.
And adding.
Yeah, which is always good.
And it's hard because I think most of us, very few of us have ever had role models that showed us how to relate to each other in a really unconditionally loving way. And so I think we are now doing that for our children. And, you know, because we're wanting to grow, the generation that we all are now, whereas our parents and, you know, going back further, they didn't have any of that. They didn't have the tools. They didn't have what we've got today. So I think that the future of the planet is going to be so much better with this sort of therapy and all the other wonderful things that are out there that are helping people just to love themselves more, really.
Thank you so much for coming in, both of you, this evening. It's been absolutely fantastic to have Harville on the phone and grill him and then hear you two actually saying, it does work.
Thank you.
So thank you very much. This is the bit where we ask people to have a pen and maybe a spot of paper handy, as we have a few websites and phone numbers. And why are you smiling at me like that?
I'm happy.
You're happy? What a load of rubbish. So coming first cab off the rank, Frank, Catwalk Circus will take over Melbourne Town Hall to support the AIDS Trust of Australia. The show includes a collection from some of the hottest Australian and New Zealand labels, live auctions and 80 performers, all helping to raise funds for the trust. For tickets, you basically just go to the usual, which is ticketmaster.com.au. And that is on March 1st.
Fantastic. Now, we often like to talk about some of the projects that people living with HIV/AIDS Victoria have going on, and one of the ones that we actually have had a guest on to talk about is Opposites Attract. And it's an opportunity for serodiscordant couples where one partner is HIV positive and the other is HIV negative to get together and discuss managing HIV in their relationship. The format is, I guess, a bit of a
a dinner evening. And now that was held back in November of 2010. And so this year it will be similar, and you can register your interest by phoning Vic on 9865-6772. And this is a joint initiative between the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre and People Living with HIV/AIDS Victoria.
And as we often say here on Well, 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 some of these groups that we talk about, they have actually been running for many years, actually. And that always demonstrates the success that people have had with them and the enjoyment, the camaraderie, a whole range of emotions and experiences that people have got out of them have been positive ones. So we encourage you, if you're sitting at home, maybe driving your car, thinking, shouldn't I, just give Vic a call in the first instance and see, have a chat with him. You don't have to commit. And 9865-6772 is the number.
Indeed. Now, we've had quite a few researchers on the show lately to talk about some of the studies that
are happening.
There's been
lots of studies.
There's lots of studies happening now around the country, really.
Yeah.
And one of those is the Tracking Changes Survey. And it's being done by the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society at La Trobe University. And it's a new project investigating the experiences of people living with HIV/AIDS in starting and changing antiretroviral treatments. Obviously, the key component for this study is a short online survey of people living with HIV, and it takes about 15 minutes. It looks at issues around, as I said, taking antiretroviral medication, their views about either starting or switching medications, their demographics, their health status, and whether they've kind of experienced any adverse effects or side effects, and if it's had any overall impact on their overall quality of life as well. If you want to have a look at the study website and complete the online survey, you can check out trackingchanges.net.
And we actually have an ethics committee at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, and that was approved by us, I believe. Mm-hmm. So it gets a big tick, so therefore we know it's safe. We wouldn't be mentioning it if we didn't think it was. The new Also Directory is out now. I know it's been out for
a little while.
About a month, well, 3 weeks. Maybe. It's important, it's an amazing, amazing resource.
It's important all year round.
As Tex and I say, it is our Bible. It was one of the first things Tex handed me when I started Victorian AIDS Council. And hard copies of the book are available in venues and gay-friendly shops, or you can also just go online and check it out there. And you do that by going to also.org.au and you click on the word directory.
Pretty good. Now, we've actually had one of our colleagues, Grant, on to talk about this, and if it's about a project at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre called Tossing and Turning, which is an insomnia treatment group. So it's an 8-week treatment group for same-sex attracted men who are experiencing chronic insomnia. The treatment combines education and cognitive behavioral therapy to counter bad sleep habits, stress, and to improve sleep hygiene. The sessions run in the evenings from 7 to 9:30 p.m. And if you want more information, you can contact the Victorian AIDS Council on 9865-6700. That's 9865-6700.
Lovely. The Country Awareness Network is based in Bendigo and provides information on HIV and other STIs for people in rural and regional Victoria. For details, you can go to their website, which is CAN, really simple, can.org.au.
And one very bit of exciting work that we've been involved with and have been talking about quite a bit on Well, Well, Well is the Victorian AIDS Council's latest social media project, which is Queer as FXXK. It's an online web drama with new episodes posted every Wednesday at midday. The latest episode is debuts Judith Lucy joining the cast from the project, and Denise Scott returns to play one of our beloved mothers. So be sure to have a look at the website. It's at facebook.com/QAFXXK. Or if you want, you can have a look at it on YouTube, and it's youtube.com/QueerAsFXXK.
Lovely.
Indeed.
As Tex would say, oh God, we're sounding like mini Texas. We've had another message from Mez, one of the people we just interviewed, and she says, Imago weekend, getting the love you want is at Abbotsford Convent Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Thanks, guys. So thank you for
getting
that.
Quick.
Mez, yeah, getting quick. But like Mez said, if you are actually considering doing a workshop, or you want to know more about Imago therapy, there's a series of places that run them in Melbourne. So I would encourage you. It just sounds an incredible, amazing experience. And based on what Lisa and Mez just said, if you are out there struggling a little bit with your relationship, you don't have to, really.
There's no reason,
Jason.
And even if your relationship is going well.
Yeah.
There's always more things that you can learn.
There's always room for improvement.
Indeed. But it is coming up to that time of the show, Jill, when we have to wrap it up.
I know. It's so sad. It was it was a bumper edition of Well, Well, Well.
And it was lovely. And a big thank you, of course, to Mez and Lise for coming on air and sharing their stories with us.
Have that human side of it is always interesting. And makes it real.
You know, just sitting here and listening to them and talk about their experience with their relationship, there are so many things that you can't help but kind of say, oh yeah, that hits home.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been there.
Yep.
And it makes you realize that we all probably could learn quite a bit.
Mm.
And another, actually, on the topic of relationships, the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre does run a peer education group that looks at relationships as well. Obviously not from a therapeutic perspective, but just from a more peer education based approach.
Yep.
And it is for gay men aged 18 and over. So if you want more information on that, you can contact the Victorian AIDS Council on 9865-6700. Of course, that one is specifically for gay men.
Yep. Good stuff. Mm. Good stuff. Any hellos, Jason?
I'm going to say hello to Tex and Harry.
Oh, bless. I'll say hello to Warren and Deb. Coming up next, we have Theme Party, and I believe the theme is comedy. So there you go. Stick around. That'll be a whole world of fun, I dare say. Comedy tracks. But that's it for us.
What's our last track for the night?
Our last track, Jason, yep, thank you for that, is Brainy by The National. That's it from us for another week, but we'll be back next week, 8 o'clock Thursday.
Have a great night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.